In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you pay attention to today's epistle reading, to what Peter read? Could anybody tell me the last words of the epistle, of today's epistle reading? The last words of what Peter read. That's why not only before the gospel, but also before the epistle reading, we say, let us be attentive. Because a reading from the Bible is going to happen. Something, an important message is going to be given to us. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to help you. St. Paul told the Corinthians, because today's epistle reading was taken from the first letter to Corinthians, St. Paul told the Corinthians to follow somebody's example. Whose example do you think that Paul told the Corinthians to follow? Good guess, but no. He said, be imitators of me, he said, not of Jesus. He told the Corinthians to follow his example. What do you think? Why did Paul tell the Corinthians to follow his own example? He tells us in today's epistle reading that even if you have, you know, many teachers in Christ, you don't have many fathers in Christ, Paul tells the Corinthians. Do you know why he told them that? Because Paul was the one who started the church in Corinth. He was the first one who brought the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, to Corinth. That's why he was a father of the church in Corinth. And you know that Corinthian church was a very troubled church. They had lots of problems in that church. That's why Paul, you know, Paul got fed up and he said, you know, follow my example. Because he was closer to them than to tell them, you know, follow the example of the Lord. They were so far away that he said, you know me. Follow my example because I follow the example of the Lord. If you can't follow the Lord, at least follow my example. Now, what do you think I want to speak to you about today? From what I told you so far, what do you think that the topic of our, the theme of our sermon is going to be today, from what I told you so far? What did I tell you about so far? About following somebody's example. And Joe, could you please turn off the lights? No, I'm trying to find my watch. Since I came to church this morning, I put my wristwatch in my pocket. Do you know why? Because my wristwatch has fluorescent... Oh, Joe, what are you doing? Oh, no, Jane. My wristwatch has fluorescent hands. So if it's exposed to light, the hands of the watch light up in a light green so that I could see the time even in darkness. But if the watch is not exposed to light, the hands are dark. Come closer. Can you see the hands? Yeah? Are they lit? No. Okay. Let's do something now. Now I have to find my cell phone. And my cell phone has a, what do you think I need? A flashlight. Let's put a strong light on my watch. And we'll see what will happen if I expose the watch to light. And what will happen to the hands of the watch. Okay, hopefully this is enough. Let's see. Oh gosh, it is down. It's down. How is it now? It's down. it's glowing. Let there be light, Job. They saw the glowing watch. So, do you have any idea why I did this for you? Why I showed you this? We talked about following examples, and then I showed you this. What do you think I'm going to say next?
Because when the light is off, you're not following God's his example, and when the light is on, you're doing the right thing and you're following the example.
Very good. If we are exposed to light, if we're exposed to a good example, we become like the good example that we're exposed to. If we're exposed to a bad example, if my watch was in darkness, how did it become? Dark. If it was exposed to light, it became light. Like light, not really light. It didn't become light, it became like light. You are exposed to so many people. Be careful whose example you follow. Okay? In school, whose example do you think you should follow?
Your teachers.
Or your teacher. At home, and all the time, whose example do you think you should follow?
Your parents.
When you are playing the piano, whose example should you follow? The piano teacher, and maybe could you find even a better example?
Mozart,
maybe. Okay. If you are playing basketball, whose example should you follow?
Jordan.
Michael Jordan? Okay. Anybody else? Your coach. Yeah. If you are playing soccer, whose example should you follow?
Your coach.
Your coach? And?
Messi,
okay. If you are playing tennis, whose example should you follow? If you're a girl? Serena Williams? Okay. And if you're a boy, whose example should you follow if you play tennis? Simona, okay. Now, is your teacher perfect?
No.
Is was Mozart perfect?
In our hearts, yes.
No, I mean, as a person, altogether, was he perfect?
No, but our hearts, he was.
I like this one. Even Albert Einstein asked questions.
Yes. If we are a scientist, you know, maybe we could try to follow the example of Albert Einstein. But was Einstein perfect? Was Michael Jordan perfect?
Yeah.
Or Serena Williams?
Yeah.
Or, no. Or the coaches? Or the parents? Are your parents perfect?
No.
I agree. I fully agree. I'm not getting offended. Because nobody is perfect. Who is perfect?
God.
From all the human beings, only our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. That's why he's the supreme example. But, as St. Paul said, you know, as St. Paul told the Corinthians, follow my example. We could also follow the examples of some human beings. But, that's why I told you that nobody is perfect, and you agreed. In fact, you told me that nobody is perfect. If you follow the example of Mozart for playing the piano, follow the example of Mozart only when it's about playing the piano. Not about everything in his life, because he was not perfect. If you want to become a good basketball player, and you admire Michael Jordan, try to become as good in basketball as Michael Jordan, but don't try to do everything that Michael Jordan did in his life. You know? Or Serena Williams, because you know some of these very good people at something are very bad. And some other things. Okay? The same, you know, with your friends in school. Keep in mind that nobody's perfect, but everybody has something good in him or her. try to follow, try to look, you know, yeah, obviously, you know, my friend is not doing good, is not good at this, or is really bad, or really misbehaves when it's about this. But when it's about this, he or she is really good. Try to follow what is good. Try to be exposed to light and take only the good part from everybody when you are to follow an example. Yes, Michael Jordan, Sophia tells me that Michael Jordan didn't make it into the basketball team of his high school, but that made him practice more, and then he became so good. That's a good example of, you know, of, we would call that in, and before perseverance, what happened to him? Change of mind. Repentance. Metanoia. That's how we would call it. He realized that, you know what? If I really want to become good, I have to practice more. It was a very serious change of mind. So, when we are about to follow examples, please follow only the good examples and follow only that part of life of that person which is good. Okay? Be selective, they call it. Try to see what is good and follow what is good and stay away from what is not so good, because nobody's perfect, but we could learn something good from anybody. Kapisci? Very good, thank you very much. The children told me that not even the parents are perfect, and they made you laugh with that. But you know what? They are so right. They are so right. And this is what I'm going to speak to you about today. About being examples for our children. Because the children need examples to follow, and they look up at us, physically and literally, they look up at us. And it is a great responsibility. As an adult, you realize that now, I'm not called to be a follower anymore, I'm called to be a leader. I'm called to give example, and what kind of example do I give to my children? What kind of example do I give to the people around me?
A good example.
A good example, hopefully. But we know that we are not perfect. We know that we have our weaknesses, and we don't want those weaknesses to be taken over by our children. And the next question is, how could I be a good example without becoming a hypocrite? How could I be a good example without pretending that everything is perfect with me, but if I don't say that everything is perfect with me, I am not a good example? If I expose my weaknesses, I become a bad example. It's a fine balance. It's a fine balance, and that's why I think our modern society has a big confusion about this. Because so many times, a weakness is presented as a virtue just in the name of truth. Be yourself no matter what. I don't think that is a correct, a right, a loving, a wise attitude. In the Orthodox Church, sin is considered a sickness. When the publican went to the temple to pray together with the Pharisee at the same time, you know, when the Pharisee went to the temple to pray, the publican didn't say, "Lord, I'm such a big sinner, but you know what, this is who I am, have mercy on me, and everything will be okay." He did not have that kind of an attitude. He was not proud of his weaknesses. He was repentant of his weaknesses. Because he knew that sin is a sickness. He knew his suffering. He knew that he didn't want to be a sinner. But it happened that the devil wounded him, and now he was suffering. And he was asking for God's mercy, eleison, for God's healing, soothing olive oil to come upon him and to heal him. Now, if sin is a sickness, do we show off, do we parade our physical sicknesses? If we have a really bad cold, that it's getting into a pneumonia, it's turning into a pneumonia, do we say, wow, I got such a bad cold, and you know, it's turning into pneumonia, and I go around and visit people, and I tell everybody, you know, what a bad pneumonia I got. Nobody does that in his right mind. Because we know that we are sick, and we know that we are sick with a contagious disease, and we don't want to give it to other people. We are not proud of it. We don't try not to make nothing of it and to say, oh, this is nothing, just pneumonia. And we don't want to spread it to other people. We deal with it, we repent of it, we go to the doctor, and we try to get better, and we try not to spread it to somebody else. And I think that's what we are called to do with sin. Not to be proud of it. And sin is contagious. Like any sickness, sin is contagious. And when we know that we have a spiritual sickness, let us not be proud of it. And especially when we are around children or around people whom we know that we have to be an example for them, let us not expose our sicknesses. Let us try to deal with our sicknesses in a very serious way. Let us go to confession, let us pray, let us be humble about our sicknesses and deal with them. And let us try, in the presence of our children, not to cough and to give them our sickness. Let us try with humility, or if we are suffering with a spiritual sickness that it is very hard to contain. Sometimes, you know, that's the case. Sometimes, you know, people suffer with an addiction and they can't contain it even in the presence of their children. Sometimes that is the case. Sometimes, you know, people have a very bad habit that they can't contain even in the presence of their children. At least, tell the children, what I'm doing is not right. And I don't want to do it, but I can't help it. Tell the children, I'm sick. Don't follow my example when it's about this. Because this is a sickness. And I do it in your presence just because I can't help it. Let us try to be good examples, because, you know, the Lord told his disciples, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. It's better to be killed than to become a stumbling block for somebody who is new into the faith, as a child or as an adult who is new to the faith. St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, it is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Let us try to work together with God to be healed of our sicknesses, and at least to tell the people around us, don't follow my example when it's about this, because it is a sickness. And let us try to become good examples, as St. Paul says again in the letter to the Romans, chapter 15, then we who are strong ought to bear with the struggles of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ, and he gives us the example of Christ, because this is not something easy. It is not easy to admit that I'm not perfect, and not only that I'm not perfect, but I'm suffering with some serious sicknesses. It's not easy to trample on our pride and to admit that sometimes we are not a good example. So St. Paul says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He took the reproaches upon him in order to be a good example. Let us try to be like Christ and take the reproaches that we have to take upon us so that we could be healed and we could become good examples for the people around us. Amen. And could you give me a smile? Don't be sad. It's possible. It's possible. It is reality. It is reality. I know that, you know, sometimes we don't like the reality. But they say that the gift of knowing yourself is a greater gift than raising the dead. St. Isaac the Syrian used to say that the gift of knowing yourself is a greater gift than raising the dead. Because if you know yourself and you work together with God, you could give life. You could raise the people around you. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.